I've always wanted to have kids. And in my ideal picture of kids, I was there. And my kids were there. And I was happy. I had a house. And I had all the success, if I could say that. But the husband wasn't there. So God brought that up and saying, by the way, this is an idea. You have an absent husband in your life. And so it was through the focused resources that I realized that I had an area in my life that was missing.
You are hearing the revelation that our guest experienced as God revealed the truth of Scripture and His sovereign plans for her life. Even as Christians, we can sometimes have a skewed biblical worldview because our upbringing and life experience has shaped our thinking. And we have to partner with God to align our thoughts and actions with His so that we can live in true freedom and in His perfect plan for our lives. And Graham, the programs that focus on the family uses in schools and in some of the underprivileged communities we're working in have been able to impact lives for Christ and bring hope of a life that has value and a future because of what God can do.
Absolutely, Alison. We've had so many testimonies, like the clip we heard from Assi, where staff members, radio listeners, and those in the communities that we reach out to have been challenged by God's ultimate truth, and as a result have made bold decisions to change their thinking and align with the Word of God after exposure to the content we make available here.
And Asisita Sejusingwe is one such person whose life was enormously impacted by surrendering to God, but also being a staff member at Focus on the Family for a number of years.
Well, we had a great conversation with Asi last time, just hearing her story of growing up in a single-parent household, being looked after by her mom until her mom died and left her and her siblings orphaned. And Asi really took on that responsibility of the head, as the head of this household, as a child herself, busy in school. And this is not a unique story in our context here in South Africa. It's very sad, but there are thousands of kids who wake up every day to a reality much like this. And Asi, it's so good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
And it's good to see you here at Focus again. Yes. We mentioned last time that you worked at Focus, so we had you on our staff for a little while. And we want to get to that part of the story, that part of your journey. But before that, I want to just take you back to that season of your life. You're the head of a child-headed household, studying, trying to make ends meet for your family. What do you know now that you wish you'd known then?
I think I know now that my hard work would definitely pay off when it comes to academics. Whereas it's an area that back then I didn't think it would. As a result, I didn't really have confidence when it came to my intelligence. I knew that I was, but it wasn't really the thing. Perhaps if I had known that then, I would have done better, maybe. But then at the same time, I understand that my focus in school and academics was majorly affected by the circumstances that I was in.
So, Asi, you came to work at Focus on the Family, as we described last summer, kind of a God-ordained circumstance, not even applying, not even being aware that you had applied for anything in the Durban area, and getting this call out of the blue from Focus, would you want to come and be a counseling intern here at Focus on the Family? What was it like coming into this family ministry as someone with such a broken story in terms of your family?
I always see it as a place that God brought me in to nurture the broken child in me, because I got here and I got an understanding of what family actually is and what love looks like, tangible love would look like and feel like. So it was a lot of nurturing, a lot of comforting place for me. And it's the one place where I got to really, really, really get to know who God was as a father for me.
And did you find that out through other people in the organization, the family heart, or through some of the material that you were being exposed to?
It's both, because I was in the book room quite a lot. So some of the material and the resources, as well as broadcasts, ministered to me. Yeah. And the relationship that I had with the staff members also ministered to me. So it was both.
So Asi, you came in as this counseling intern, but as I shared last time, very quickly we saw this incredible potential in you to have an impact. You had a passion for youth. still very young yourself. And so we got you involved in the No Apologies program, teaching kids about sexual purity and abstinence and just their character. And what was that experience like for you? Was that something that also shaped you, or what did you learn through that role?
I was thrown into the deep with that because I felt completely unqualified, and I felt that I didn't have the experience of doing the job that you guys had given me. But then again, in fact, I know that God communicated to me that this is what I want you to do now. I've got to just let go and trust again. And so that experience to me gave me a lot of respect and a lot of honor. And I had to sort of respect myself and honor myself, knowing that I've been tasked with such an incredible task of speaking to young people and impacting on their lives. So I had to be in a good space myself. So it brought up a lot of self-introspection, and it made me question a lot of my own decisions and where I was with God, because I felt a sense of responsibility that if I'm modeling this relationship with God, I have to model it right. And so I needed to be right with God in order to teach other people on how to, about sexual purity and character and abstinence. And so it brought me so much closer to God, and I think it purified me in a way, and it purified the relationship that I had with God and strengthened the relationship that I had with God, because other than relying on the material that I had in facilitating the program, but I also really had to rely on what God wants me to do and rely on His voice quite a lot. So it taught me on how to listen to the voice of God over my life and give Him the space to lead and reign over the lives of these children.
And in that process, you got connected to our community development area. And obviously being used as a facilitator to facilitate this program, No Apologies. But you had this passion for children that were in the unique situation that you had been in. Just describe how that passion grew into something that really caused you to want to really do something about it.
Well, I felt like child-headed homes were always sidelined or isolated somehow, that there wasn't specific programs for them. And I believe that the idea came from, I did a speaking engagement in one of the places, I don't remember where, but as I finished speaking, I realized that a lot of these kids are not involved in drug abuse. They're not doing, making those decisions because it's what they want. But there was a void that they were trying to fill in spaces in their lives or aspects of their life that they were trying to get away from. And so we needed not to speak on the surface of the program, but address the program from its root. And that needed its own specific program. I do a lot of self-introspection and reflecting, as I said. So I had to sit down with Asi and ask Asi, as a childhood at home, what is it that you needed back then that you could provide somebody else now who's in the same place that you were at? And so that's when Childhood Headed Home idea came about.
And so you are the founder and the one who really initiated this program that we have running today called Tales of Hope.
Yes.
Where did that title come from?
I believe that a lot of the child-headed home places, they're in a place of hopelessness. And so we needed to have a journey with them from that place, not dismissing the hopelessness in them, but acknowledging it, that it is there. And how do we move then to a place of hopefulness? And I knew that it would be through stories, their own stories, my own story, that would tell to each other, get encouragement and motivation from each other to move from that place of hopelessness to hopefulness. And so the Tales of Hope, it was stories of hope, basically. So that's how the title came about. And also I had to sort of find a verse that would anchor that or back that up. So I needed a verse, and this verse here, Hebrews 6 verse 19, came to me. And it reads as follows. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. This verse spoke to the vision and the mission that I wanted to create for Tales of Hope.
And we said at the top of the first program that our heart as a ministry is obviously to help families, but with the recognition that family looks different in different settings, and sometimes it's very broken. And if we were going to have an impact on the lives of families across South Africa, We've got to acknowledge that and step mm-hmm. in where that family really is broken.
Mm.
And so this program for us was something that was very real and relevant mm. as a family ministry in this context to say, these kids need help.
Mm.
They are very often hopeless. They're mm. in that place you spoke about, possibly even those suicidal thoughts.
Mm.
Why would I continue? But to give hope where there's hopelessness,
yes.
and to bring support and to bring encouragement. And so you were the beginnings of this program. And just over the last 3 years, I thought I would tell you, Asi, we've had 56 decisions for Christ through this program.
Wow.
56 kids have said, actually, I want to commit my life
wow.
to Jesus
yeah.
as a part of this program. 14 facilitators have been trained. So it's not just a one-person thing anymore. 11 schools have participated mm-hmm. in the program. 133 children have gone through the Tales of Hope
wow.
program in the last couple of years, with 207 siblings connected to
wow.
that. So over 300 people, children, that have benefited from this vision that you had. And so I think it's phenomenal that mm. God used you. He brought you to this place in a way that was seemingly didn't make sense. Why would you come to this family ministry?
Mm.
And yet he positioned you here to start something that was going to have an impact on so many kids and will continue to have an impact.
Yes.
That program is only continuing to expand and grow mm. and many, many, many lives are being touched through that.
So, Asi, when you started the program, obviously you had a vision, but just give us a little bit of detail as to what it was that you were doing when you arrived at the homes of these children.
Mm.
What are some of the things that Tales of Hope does actually practically
mm.
for these kids?
Okay. So the idea was that we're coming to their homes and we sort of help them realize that this is not the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because for them, they see it as, this is where my life will end. This is where my life is at. And there is no other way, or there's no future
mm.
other than me living in this home.
Mm.
And obviously getting involved in some of the bad decision making.
Mm.
And so one of the things that we did was to sort of talk to them about what has happened with me. And where I am now
mm.
and how, what has made that possible, and sort of not only make a hope as a word, but living the hope again, ministering and also modeling that, because for them, they don't understand that they will ever get out.
Yeah.
And so when they see somebody who's gotten out, that speaks hope
mm.
for them.
Mm.
Also, I wanted them to sort of have an exposure in terms of their career options that they have, because again, if they feel stuck in that moment, they won't think career-wise. They
yeah.
won't think beyond maybe a grade 7.
Mm.
So speaking about the importance of education and sort of like exposing them to some of the careers and choices that they could make, academic choices that they could make to get to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So also feeding them, because I believe that you can never minister to an empty stomach.
Yes.
So giving them snacks and food and having the conversation over
mm.
a snack and
mm.
swallowship, we call it.
Swallowship.
Yes, swallowship.
So it's very practical.
Yes.
And there were lots of aspects of the program, budgeting and finance.
Yes, yes.
But also emotional, dealing with realities
yeah.
of grief and loss.
And, mm.
and Asi, you're obviously a success story. You now just finished your master's in psychology, this
yeah.
educated, career-orientated woman. But as we've referenced, success isn't just academics, it isn't
mm.
just career. And I remember you sharing a devotion. In fact, I quote your story often in the context of my work at Focus. You were here at Focus and you were involved in this program, and yet you still only at that point had something of a realization
yeah.
that I think shaped you and your future, as well as even the program and what we want to get across through this program of Tales
mm.
of Hope and a lot of the work that we do as
mm.
a ministry of Focus. Explain that that epiphany that you had?
That I had. You know, I think God worked with me in compartments, if I could say that. There were different compartments that I had. And so he had to work in each compartment for preparing me for different seasons in my life. Mm-hmm. And I think when he was preparing me for the marriage season in my life, I needed to get into that with a clean slate, yeah, and with no broken ideas or perception or expectations. Yeah. So this epiphany that I had was after I watched the movie Irreplaceable. I remember I took it on a Friday and I watched it on Saturday because I didn't have a phone with WhatsApp or Facebook or anything like that. So I spent a lot of my time watching Focus Resources. So that's what I did. And I knew that I was sharing on Monday on devotion, but I didn't know what I was sharing on yet. Normally I would prepare on a Sunday, but this day, after I finished watching the Irreplaceable movie, I realized that I have been walking around with a broken understanding or design of what marriage is, because I've always wanted to have kids. And in my ideal picture of kids, I was there, and my kids were there, and I was happy, I had a house, and I had all the success, if I could say that, but the husband wasn't there. And I didn't see that as anything wrong, because maybe I thought, I don't know what I thought actually. So God brought that up in saying, by the way, this is an idea, you have an absent husband in your life. And so it was through the Focus Resources that I realized that I had an area in my life that was missing, that an area of my life that was broken. And I needed to sort of start praying about that in preparation for the new season of my life. And I think that was because of the way that I grew up. So because I grew up with a single mother, and my idea of family or the design of marriage that I knew, actually let me say the design of family that I knew, was a mom with kids, no husband.
I think your story is so powerful, and that's why I tell it so often, because it somewhat summarizes, I believe, possibly the greatest challenge that we have facing family in this country. And that's just the reality of so many kids growing up without a model for family, due to all kinds of circumstances. But the majority of kids growing up in a single parent home, and so they're not seeing marriage modeled for them. They're not seeing family as God designed it modeled for them. And so we all as humans replicate our experience. It's not an evil thing necessarily, but that's what we often copy what we know. And so it took for you to be surrounded by these resources at Focus, even having been here full time for probably a year at least, or 2 years.
Yes, about
by that
2 years
stage,
yeah.
To actually have that mindset shift in order for you to then move into the fullness and the experience of that. And that's jumping to the next part of your story.
Yes.
In some ways, it was a bittersweet thing for us when you announced your engagement, because it meant that we were going to lose you, but we were at the same time celebrating that you were getting married.
Yes.
And this story coming full circle. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, I would like to just say that I don't think I would have even had the words God's design for family had I not worked here. And I wouldn't have the understanding of what that actually means. What is His design? Because we live, as you've just said now, we live in a world where that design is non-existent, because a lot of families, there's other single moms growing up with their kids or helping grow their kids, or there's child-headed homes. And so for me, I think I wouldn't have accepted the idea of marriage or the calling of marriage the way I did had I not been exposed first to focus on the family resources and their understanding, and for God to do the uprooting work in my own heart of what is my own understanding, what has been my experiences, and how does He undo that to give me a chance in life to actually thrive in my marriage.
And so now you are married for 3 years.
Yes, 3 years.
And pregnant with your first
child. Pregnant with my first child.
As we said, the story comes full circle,
this
family that you have started. Tell us a little bit about what your marriage has been like, coming from a background where you haven't been able to have that model, that example in your own life.
Yes.
What's it been like the last 3 years?
Well, my husband's parents have been married for 31 or 32 years.
Okay.
So they are a perfect example of that marriage can last that long. It can definitely last that long and still be in love. But because for me, I've never really seen my parents married. So I don't have a memory of them as a married couple. So I've had to take a lot of my own references from what God says about marriage. And I'm very grateful that I have a relationship so much that I can trust on what he's saying, other than seeing what other couples are modeling for me, because we know that not every couple is modeling God's design of marriage. And so I have really had to trust on what is he saying in this stage. And he's taught me very well through my experiences that trusting in him yields very good results. And so thriving in my own marriage has been about, what is God saying now? How can I listen more? What can I read? I read a lot, and I have a lot of focus on family books in my little own library. So I read about quite a lot of what is it that is expected of me as a godly wife to my husband, and he does the same. And so that's how we've been trying to model our own in creating our own dynamic and design according to what God is saying.
And what would you say, maybe it's an unfair question, it's quite broad, but to somebody like you that's come out of that background of not having a model for marriage in their own growing up years, that to encourage them firstly about the value and importance of marriage, and then to give them some advice stepping into marriage?
Surrounding yourself with godly marriages and Christian marriages would be the first step, because if you're walking into that marriage, it is a lot of shock that you get, and you often think that no, you're ready for marriage, and because you've attended all the single seminars and you've done all of this homework and everything. But once you get in there, it's a completely different avenue, because you get to know yourself in a way that you've never really known yourself, and you realize how selfish you've been, or how selfish you actually are as a human being. And so if you don't have somebody to fall back on in terms of what do I do now, I think that's when there's a potential to fail. So surrounding yourself with godly couples would be the first step. And also sometimes reading and attending marriage seminars is another good way. And I think before getting married, I always advocate this, premarital counseling is very important. Finding a premarital counselor who will walk you through the expectations, and just in terms of finding out where your own weaknesses are and where your weaknesses of your partners are, and the needs that you both have for the marriage, and ironing out some issues so that you don't, you set yourself up for success and you set your marriage up for success would be a good thing.
Why is it important? Why is it such a good thing?
Other than the fact that it was God designed us to get married, and he wanted us to have to
be fruitful.
Be fruitful.
Increase.
I forgot this. Yes, to be fruitful and multiply. If we do that within the walls of what God has created for us, that's when we set up generations for success, because what we do now affects the next generation. And so if we could start well now and be very intentional and careful in building the legacy of the values that we have and relating that to what is it that God said. And so for us to not be speaking so much about sexual purity, building of character, I think if we start now within our own families, we'll have to preach about that a little bit less in the future. If we start modeling that now, because I feel like we'll be remedying a lot of our social ills that we have now if we start well within our marriages. I believe that the family is the cornerstone that God uses to build the society. So yeah, I think that's why marriage is valuable, because it's the beginning of what God, he creates through that, and he builds through that his own legacy as well.
I see. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing your story, the difficulties, the pains, but also the triumphs. And it's such an awesome thing to see the fruitfulness and the fulfillment of this journey that you've been on. And to be connected to you, and we always will be through particularly this program, Tales of Hope, that was really birthed from your experience and also your passion to say, how can we make a difference? How can we bring hope where there is hopelessness? And hopefully through that, again, also that we're able to promote the value of family. That's a key part of that as well, that in this difficulty and this pain that's been broken, the family's been broken, that these kids can grow up with a value for marriage and family and God's design for family.
Thanks, Asi. It's been so good to hear your testimony, and it really is just a testimony of God's power in your life and God's hand guiding you. It's been such a good conversation. Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us, Asi.
Thank you, Graham.
I loved when Asi spoke about modeling family well so that we change future generations and build a legacy of family done God's way. That sentiment is powerful and central to what we believe at Focus on the Family. It's been a heartwarming 2 days listening to Asi share her story and the way in which God has brought freedom and blessing to her life as she has committed to following Him with her whole heart. And if you were intrigued by our child-headed household program, Tales of Hope, that was birthed out of Asi's journey and through her involvement at Focus on the Family, and you'd like to know more or even support this effort, please do get in touch. Our number is 031-716-3300, or you can see more on our website at safamily.co.za. For Focus on the Family Africa, I'm Alison Schnell, inviting you to join us next time when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.